Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I am Jason, not an Android Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. You probably just listened to our Agatha Harkness episode. We have not recorded that yet.
Don't give it away.
Those behind the scenes.
Oh, hon, don't give it away. That's where I try my best, Catherine Hahn.
Do the big wink.
Wanda, baby.
Yeah, I loved it.
And I killed Sparky, too.
She's a fucking treasure.
She is a treasure.
And what a
babe. We said forever, if you haven't seen on HBO, Mrs. Fletcher, mm-hmm. written by the guy who wrote the book and co-created the television show, The Leftovers, one of the greatest television shows ever created.
Nick Pizza.
You are missing out. No, not Nick Pizza.
No, I know.
You're confusing the Tom Peretta.
Yes,
I think
Nick Pizza is the True Detective.
Nick Pizzolatto, who's the creator of True Detective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different guys. But Mrs. Fletcher is all Catherine Hahn, and she's naked. speaking of things that aren't naked, let's talk about WandaVision. Ashley,
not enough nudity in WandaVision. That's my hot take.
You know, if I was a director working on a movie with Vision, I think the first note that I would say is, we got to see his penis.
That's what Mr. Whedon, fallen from grace, that's what he said.
You know, the thing I think blockbuster audiences need, an android penis.
He said, you know what? He was very almost naked in, what's that sailing movie he did with Russell Crowe?
Master and Commander.
Thank you. Let's make him really naked as not a human.
Okay.
That's I imagine that's the exact thought process.
So let's get to the point at hand, Ashley. We're talking about WandaVision, the complete season here. There will be full spoilers, so yep. If you have not seen every single episode of WandaVision, and we are including the finale in this,
please proceed with caution.
Then, let's see if this is the right sound effect. Ah, there it is!
Spoiler alert!
By the way, everybody, we got the soundboard back.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I don't know if that affected any of the GHL extras.
I don't think it did!
But I also was questioning because I found one of my old labels for this, and I was going to write down which sound effect is, so I never have to wonder which one is which. And so I was going blind on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I was like, I think that's the red
alert. You should put it on the one that lights up red.
It is on the one that's light up red, but you don't realize. We should talk about WandaVision here, but now we're going to talk about our Rode Procaster because Ashley wants to.
I don't want to. I don't care. I don't know how it works. It is a magical box, not unlike both the Vision and Wanda,
by the way,
where they just arbitrarily change the source of her powers, just like the comic books.
By the way, I also don't know why I threw you under the bus for that, for literally nothing.
But I can't wait for the iTunes reviews to roll in about that.
I am going to explain how this works, and you're going to sit there and learn about it. So on the Rode Procaster, our soundboard, we have 8 little lit up buttons. They're all different colors, but there are 3. So there are 8 actual buttons.
Yes.
But there are actually 18. There are 3 different virtual panels that I can switch through. So what I was going to do on my labels is, depending on the show, I was going to make a panel for extra. I was going to make a panel for Jason and Ashley.
8 times 3, 24, not 18.
Speaking of WandaVision, I had the math wrong. Thanks.
You're welcome.
What's that one? That's a gun.
That's Texas' favorite.
That is Texas' favorite. See, I got them all mixed up. I want to make one for each show.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So I'm showing Ashley my label. So on this side, I would have extra. On this side, I've had Jason and Ashley.
Wow.
Then I have another one of these.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I'd put it on depending on the show.
You've blown my mind.
Because right then and there, I did not know that the green button was Texas. I'd completely forgot.
Yeah. So, we've been without
ours. I can look it up virtually, but it just takes too much time.
But let's Russian roulette. That's way more fun. With a ricochet.
Oh, that one just goes for 2 minutes, by the way, if I just let it go.
Oh, really?
So let's wipe the slate clean.
And not unlike Wanda.
Let's talk about WandaVision Season 1. All right.
Yeah.
So we're going to... Spoiler warnings up.
That's okay. Kind of like what happened in the finale.
Yeah, sure.
There was some red stuff and there were some shots fired. It's a magic.
Season 1, we're full spoilers now, everybody.
Yeah.
So at the end, when Galactus showed up, that was great. Really good stuff.
Marvel would never give us a cameo that good.
We're going to talk about the good. We're going to talk about the bad.
And we're going to talk about the ugly.
We can talk about the ugly as well. And then at the very end, we'll give it a rating. But I want to start off with the good, Ashley. And we don't have to specifically make this about just the final episode.
Yeah, the whole sort of...
We did a review of the first three episodes. You can go find that. We're going to be sort of talking about the back half of WandaVision. But, you know, an entire season review. So what do you think WandaVision did really well? Good performances, good scenes. Let's hear some of the good stuff.
Yeah, WandaVision needs to get Paul Bettany a back brace and some Advil for carrying that show on his back single-handedly. Because if they didn't have Paul Bettany, I don't know if a lot of the gags of the show would work. So for me, we're going to call him out right on top. He did a really great job. I think the gag of the show... the framing device of the different television shows and the different genres as echoes of stages of grief or in order to explore different aspects of Wanda's personality is really good. And I think the more the show drops it, the less good the show gets. But as we, particularly in the first half, as we commit to that, I think it's really, really strong.
It's very strong.
I think Catherine Hahn is a great casting choice as well. So glad that
when
we actually,
she has something to do.
Yeah. I mean, no, I even liked her as the nosy neighbor.
I'm going to bring this up. No, I liked her more as the nosy neighbor than I did as Agatha Harkness.
I would watch an entire show of her being an evil witch.
Because to me, that's where she had nothing to do but go, bwahaha, but we're talking about the good.
Yeah.
But she is a strength of the show, definitely.
She's a huge strength of the show. We expanded on aspects of the Marvel comic book universe that I'm particularly interested in.
Same.
I'm going to hang this caveat here before we start to go into things that we didn't enjoy as much. I said all I wanted from this show was the twins, and the show gave me the twins. So ultimately, the show did give me everything I asked for, and I'm going to admit to that right here, right now.
Okay.
I thought you were going to give me another sound effect. Jason, what are some things that you thought were particularly good about WandaVision?
Good things of WandaVision spotlight.
Yeah, really. Positive spotlight.
You are 100%. Paul Bettany is the lead actor of the show. He's so good. Mm-hmm. Especially in the scene where he had to act with himself and bullshit on you, sir, for saying that was a huge cameo at the level of Luke Skywalker. The twins were really good. I thought the actors were really good as well.
Yeah, the kids were good. Yeah.
I even liked the origin of Monica Rambeau.
So did I.
There's pieces of Monica that we're going to talk about in the bad, but I thought for a superhero origin in the Marvel Universe, because the Marvel Universe tends to get pretty clunky with their origins,
yeah.
I thought it was very simple, very straightforward.
I am excited to see more Tiana Paris. I thought... she had nothing to do and did a...
Oh, is that that actress's name?
Yes, and did a...
What a beautiful name.
Yeah, and a beautiful lady.
Wow. I know she is very pretty.
I thought she did a pretty good job with virtually nothing
She can wear that Schwartz outfit any day, any time. I thought, agreed with you, that the TV motifs were the real strength of the show. And I think a reason of that is because it was leaning on the back of television shows that we all agree are great.
Yes. Yeah. Even if we're not familiar with every single trope that's being played on. Because I'm definitely not.
Exactly. And I remember I had to explain some of them. I had to be like, oh, that's from the Brady Bunch and that's from this. But I will say
I have seen none of the shows they're referencing.
I will say this.
Literally not.
Some people are probably giving me crap about Malcolm in the Middle, which is the 90s show.
Yeah.
But Malcolm in the Middle was one of the best family comedies of the 90s. It is so funny.
Even if people didn't like it, it really doesn't matter because it was iconic. And I will say, I'm happy that they referenced a family comedy from the 90s because they could have so easily gone either
Seinfeld
or much worse, in my opinion, Friends.
Well, I think that was on purpose because of the family.
I agree.
Yes,
but I mean, that would have been a much more obvious choice than...
And then the last one they did was Modern Family.
Yes.
I thought that was neat. I thought Evan Peters.
Oh, I meant to say Evan Peters.
Did a really good job at winking at the audience for what they brought him in for. I thought he did it.
You mean for the fact that they wasted him completely?
They didn't waste him because he gave a great performance.
Oh, you know what? Fair. I wish if we would have.
I would say.
I wish he was going to stick around because he's obviously not going to be sticking
around. Let me rewrite your statement.
Sure.
I think it was a badly written move. But they did not waste Evan Peters because
every episode, gave you an internet reaction.
Yep. Every episode he's in, he's great.
He is great.
He's really good. Even the last episode, he's really good. Like, I actually laughed out loud when he's like, are you a fan of Seagal? Like,
oh, yeah.
Because, of course, a bad community theater actor from New Jersey would be like, Steven Seagal.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
So I thought that was really good. The art direction of the show.
Yes, the look of the show.
They did such an amazing job of nailing the looks of those other shows. Mm-hmm. So, like, 100%. They're usually always the forgotten, the cinematographers, the art directors,
set dressers, yeah.
Fantastic work.
And the
camera operators, fantastic work.
And a big, yes, the camera operators who had to shoot differently for every style, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And a big ask to have your team basically have to make a different show for the first four episodes.
Yes, with a different set.
You know, it becomes
set.
A little more like generically a Marvel thing after that.
Yeah, and I guarantee you they use different lenses every episode. Like different equipment.
Yeah.
You can tell they shot on different cameras.
Yeah.
Well, they could have done it digitally. I doubt it, though.
I'm just not good enough at film to understand
whatever
that.
There are
a lot of good things. There were a lot of things we really liked,
you know, and lastly I will say this, I'm kind of glad that this was the first Marvel Disney Plus show.
I will agree
over
with that.
Falcon Winter Soldier, because
at least they tried something different.
They tried to do something different. And I think that's the better choice instead of just giving us a television show that feels like a movie, which is what I think Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be.
Yeah, I think it's going to feel much more like, oh, this is of the same ilk as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil, Luke Cage, that kind of stuff.
Yes. All right, Ashley.
Yeah.
What's the bad?
The minute we dropped the facade of we are using weird television shows as a metaphor for Wanda's journey, and the more we saw of the generic Marvel Cinematic Universe, so from basically about episode four on, In my opinion, it's diminishing returns. The show just becomes another generic Marvel thing, whereas it started out being very, very unique and very, very cool. I actually think Elizabeth Olsen does a pretty good job.
She's okay.
Throughout. However, she's just not as strong an actor as Paul Bettany. Now, she's about half his age. So she might be as good as he is when she gets the same amount of experience and she's worked as long as he has. But I don't think she is at the same level as him. So I definitely didn't think they felt equally matched. And she is carrying the emotional brunt of it. So I know
it's her show.
It is very much her show. And I know some people had very strong emotional reactions to episodes throughout, particularly to the finale. I did not have a strong emotional reaction except to be like, oh my God, that's Wiccan.
I want to bring up something. There's one other thing I want to put in the good.
Absolutely.
I think the best scene in the entire show is the scene that resonated with a lot of people. It's the scene that takes place, it seems like post Age of Ultron, where it's Vision and Wanda in the room. And Vision,
the scene that should have been the movie.
Yeah, and should have been in Civil War, where Vision says, but what is grief if not love persevering? That scene, best scene in the entire season. Okay, back to the bad.
I thought everything with the sword stuff was bad.
Agreed.
I did not think it was across the board bad writing. I did not think it was across the board bad acting.
I did not think it was generic.
Across the board bad performances. I think Randall Park should be in everything. I think Randall Park should be the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I agree.
Sword, whatever the fuck.
I think he's going to be. I think that's where
they're
putting
him. I do. I think,
Or at least the head of the FBI.
I want to shout out his name. I thought Josh Stamberg.
Is he Haywood?
He's Hayward.
He's great. He's a great
actor.
He's
always that dickhead white guy
bureaucracy.
In a business suit. He was really great at that. You hated his character because you were supposed to, but like every time we cut back to Sword, I didn't care.
I agree.
And that's because what they were doing inside of Westview was better, in my opinion.
I want to talk about, so I think the reason why the first three episodes resonated, and as soon as they pulled the curtain back, and I've heard this from multiple people as well, and again, out there, you can completely disagree with us.
That's totally fine. Yeah.
But from some of the other people I've been talking to, and I feel this way as well, the first three episodes.
Say their names.
No.
I'm just kidding.
The first three episodes were very much Lostian. They felt like we didn't know.
They were delightful.
We didn't know what was happening. And so that was delight. We were like, okay, is this Wanda or is it an outside force? And then as soon as they cut to the sword episode, you were like,
episode four.
It's Wanda. It's Wanda. It's like the mystery was gone. And I think they should have held the mystery for at least, it was 8 episodes, at least until episode 6 or 7.
I agree. I don't think we should have seen Sword until the penultimate episode.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, in the final episode, they're useless. The only reason Sword exists was
to set them up for the next movie. So we don't have to explain who they are.
So Thomas Haywood could shoot at kids.
Yeah.
And we can see, the only purpose they serve in the final episode.
Is to
give Randall Park something to do and to let Thomas Haywood be like, oh, I'm the bad guy of this show. Bang, bang.
Yeah. Those weren't runes. If you're going to call them runes, they should be runes. They were sigils, which are magical symbols that you make up and imbue with your own power. Sigils are a cornerstone of actual practicable chaos magic. Runes are part of a more ethnographic tradition.
I want to bring up what I think is the worst thing. Oh, sorry.
The crickets agree.
It's the runes, Ashley.
It's the runes.
That was accidental, by the way. I want to bring up the worst thing.
Sure.
I think in all of WandaVision.
Sure.
And please allow me. I'm going to be a little bit. I'm going to get up on a soapbox and I'm going to monologue.
Okay, I'm going to let you. I will let you finish your thought.
All right, let me climb up here. All right. There I am. Okay. So, the ending of WandaVision. And WandaVision, like a show like Lost, and we talked about this in the beginning of that, that this is a show that depends entirely on the landing, the ending. The show is definitely that. So, a lot of this is going to be judged by the ending. In the final episode, you know, we learn actually before the final episode that it's all Wanda. That Wanda has suddenly somehow increased her powers. She has somehow taken control of this town. She has somehow taken over innocent people's lives and forced them to think thoughts, to say things, to do things that are against their will. There is
Dottie tells us she locked her little girl in her room.
And she's like, can I see my little girl? Okay, so Wanda, I don't care what you think or whether, you know, yes, she is a superhero. That is a fucking crime. That is a huge fucking crime.
And they have the gall to have Monica Rambeau say, they'll never understand what you sacrificed for them.
Okay, yes.
In the final, I have questions about consent.
And that is where, like, when she let it all go and Vision and the kids went and she walked back into the town, what I thought we were going to and what I thought was going to be an excellent arc for grief, because isn't the last, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the last stage of grief acceptance?
Yes.
Okay. You know what a perfect example of acceptance is? Accepting that you hurt people and taking the full brunt of the charge. I thought she was walking into the town to be like, arrest me.
I thought we were literally going to get a witch hunt. I thought they were going to arrest her.
But instead, she walks into the town. The townspeople are all scowling at her. They're like, we want to kill you. And Monica Rambeau, who we are definitely setting up to be a new hero in the MCU.
She will take over Captain Marvel when Brie Larson gets sick of
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly. She just goes, oh, well, see you next time, Wanda.
Yeah.
And that is it.
And it's interesting to me, particularly in the finale episode, because it is juxtaposed with the best scene in the episode of the Dueling Visions when Colorful Vision goes up to White Vision, and before he gives him back his memories, he says, may I? He gets verbal, explicit consent from a being that is arguably not human and possibly not even capable of granting consent or understanding the concept thereof.
I'm going to say something, Ashley, and if I step over the line, please tell me.
Sure.
So. Not personally for you, but just in general.
Yeah.
This is a phrase that I hear a lot especially when fans and YouTube pundits and whatnot and critics talk about media.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's used very incorrectly. And I think this term is exactly correct for this show. Wanda mind raped these people, correct?
I don't like that phrase.
Was there a better phrase?
I don't know.
And I apologize if I have offended anybody.
I don't know if there is a better phrase, but yes, because a rape is an act of power where you take away, you literally physically violate someone. So she did that in their minds.
She did that to
Everyone.
At least 100 people
for over a week. Whatever the population of Westview is.
For over a week.
And then, by the way, is continuing to do that to Agnes, which we all tacitly agree to because she's a baddie.
Yes. So, like, that is the problem. Like, to be honest with you, and that goes into, that leads into my big thing of why I don't think WandaVision is successful, is because we start, we're, chronologically, we don't see till, you know, episode 6, I think. Chronologically, the first time we see Wanda is she goes to get the body, right? And she's grieving Vision.
Yes.
She goes to the house. She's grieving, she's grieving, she's grieving. The last time we see Wanda, she's still grieving. So what's the character arc?
Well, I will say this. Here's like a mixed bag thought.
Sure.
I really admire that WandaVision set out to give us the origin of a villain.
Mm-hmm. Well, possibly. We don't quite know that, but I understand.
Well, she's at least going to be a quote-unquote anti-hero. An anti-hero is a fucking villain.
Sure. She's
going to be a bad, a villainous figure for at least part of Doctor Strange. She's in Doctor Strange.
I still buy that they're not going to turn her completely villainous. But
no, of course not. And she won't be the ultimate villain.
For the sake of this conversation, I will take your point.
I admire that we're trying to do that because I am so tired of Iron Man origin redux. So I admire that they tried to do something different with her. I don't think they committed hard enough to the idea of the stages of grief.
I agree.
And this is me as someone who wasn't in the writer's room, obviously putting my opinion on that's what they were trying to do. It's never been stated that's what they were doing. And I don't think they committed enough to making her bad because she had a really lovely goodbye with her sons and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to go villain, go full. Like, we see her reading what you described as effectively the Marvel Universe Necronomicon.
Yes, the Darkhold. Yep.
So if you're going to go evil, go full evil. I know you want her to have a nice ending with her fam, but she also didn't even get an ending with, like, fake Pietro.
Well, the other thing about it, too, is, and I'm going to talk about of why, and I said in our Patreon Discord, go check that out, everybody.
Yeah.
I said in there that I was like, leave it to Marvel to give us a typical, very predictable ABC ending. And what I mean by that is that the whole last episode is literally, we have this really cool character, Agatha, right? Mm-hmm. She's a witch. We don't know what a witch can do in this universe because we've never seen one before. And she tells us all this crazy stuff and doing these things. And when you think about that, you're like, okay, cool. I don't know what this end fight's going to be, especially if Wanda can literally change reality. This could be anything. But instead, the episode is Agatha goes pew pew with her hands and Wanda goes pew pew back. And then they go pew pew and then they fly around and then pew pew and then they fly and they pew pew. And it's just, it's a pew pew fight that is so boring that the Wanda beats Agatha just because she stays invisible long enough. And Agatha is like, oh crap, you got me.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess in defense of that, and I'm not necessarily interested in defending this aspect of the show, but every last act, Marvel, DC, every last act superhero fight kind of low-key sucks.
Well,
and it's kind of low-key predictable.
You are correct. And it's predictability that we know that the good guy is always going to win. But you can still use the trappings of your character and your story to make it more interesting. Let me give you a good example. Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Doctor Strange, the climax of Doctor Strange is they show up, they see that Cassilius has won, they rewind time.
Mm-hmm.
So their fight is backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And then it leads to a montage where Doctor Strange just bargains. There's no fight. He doesn't fight Dormammu. He just, like, he endures. And so to me, I'm like,
yeah, WandaVision is just like, ooh, we colored Agatha Harkness's fingers black because that's a trope of witchcraft that we're not going to explain, well, and called it a day.
Exactly. Like, to me, I'm like, why didn't they do something like the world kept glitching through the shows? And then, like,
well, I also don't understand if you're going to do witches and we're saying that this is actually witches.
We're
using the word chaos magic and we're walking back the mutant thing and the I was experimented on thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, go full witchcraft.
That's
like,
what I say, too.
Crack a fucking history book or read a couple, like, theology or like, you know, religious, read a book of shadows. And let's get some, like, hoodoo or voodoo or European witchcraft. She's supposed to be Romany. Let's get something from that tradition.
That's what I'm saying. Because we're confirming that witches are in this universe. Let's be a little bit more creative with the finale.
Or if we're going to make the Scarlet Witch this godhead figure, then, like, let's get some, like, Moses analogies going on or Athena analogies.
To be honest
or,
with you, I really actually thought, and this would have been my pitch in the room.
Well, Mokos, I guess we're going to skin.
In the beginning of Thor Ragnarok, there's that scene where Thor is walking around Doctor Strange's house, and the idea is that he keeps cutting to other rooms, Thor can't handle it. Like, Thor is suddenly like, he's like bumping into walls and stuff. I would have loved, especially leaning into the tropes of the show, if it would have been Agatha and Wanda fighting for control of Westview, and every time they change their powers, now we're Malcolm in the Middle, now we're in Big Witch, now we're in Brady Bunch, now we're in MASH, now we're in this.
I think they spent all their money on the really rubbery CG of this episode.
CGI did not look good. Final thing and the bad, I want to talk about, let's talk about Evan Peters and Quicksilver. Thoughts on this?
I enjoyed him. Mm-hmm. I like Evan Peters. I like Evan Peters as Quicksilver. I think casting Evan Peters and using him as a middle finger to a studio and a cinematic universe
that doesn't exist anymore.
that allowed us to get to Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, X-Men 2000 deserves all the fucking respect, even if you don't like that movie, along with Spider-Man, along with Blade, for making Marvel movies cool again. The Marvel Cinematic Universe stands on the back of that universe, and I think to use one of the coolest characters and one of the most talented actors as a fuck you to everyone who ever worked on those movies is a really, like, not cute move. And then I think to just blatantly tell us you're not porting him over into the MCU is just, that's why I called it a waste.
They were never gonna do it. I think, actually, that in terms of a piece of writing, that it was actually pretty funny, and it was a nice little wink. I think it was a good piece of producing. To me, where it stumbles is when they reveal that he's a bad actor named Frank Boner.
I literally wish they just called him Evan Peters. What I actually would have done...
Called him Evan Peters?
I would have called him Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Ah, well, I want to put... And I think this is intentional. So many people...
No self-respecting actor has a headshot that they took on their iPhone. Even a community theater actor.
I know we all think that Boner, we all know what Boner is. But actually, if you go back and look at the origin of the word, a boner actually means a bad joke.
Yes, that's true.
And I think that is intentionally... I think they did it for a double entendre. I think it intentionally is to say that he's a bad joke. And then also that, like, he's a good dick. I think it's the ending of that. I think if that Pietro just vanished,
we would have
been like, that's a cool, nice wink.
Just had him turn into red mist or whatever.
I think if he would have vanished like everybody else, I think we would get. But it's the fact that they made him a bad actor and they made him Frank Boner.
Yes, I agree.
That I think we all call it a waste. Okay, WandaVision season one, Ashley, on a scale of 1 to 5 Brego cats, what would you give it?
Yeah, so I gave
and final thoughts as well.
I gave the first one 5 out of 5 because I thought the first 3 episodes were like very, very striking. And every episode since then has been a little less interesting, in my opinion. Ultimately, the show did give me the one thing I asked for. Ultimately, the show did pretty much exactly what I expected to.
Yep.
What I was hoping it would do would make me care about Wanda, and it didn't. And there was literally a point where she got her Scarlet Witch costume, which, by the way, isn't scarlet. It's maroon or wine or orange or purple or anything but red, honestly. That headpiece looks sick, though.
The colors are really bad.
Really bad. There was a point where she reminded me of Jean Grey in X-Men 3.
Yep.
And I don't like Jean Grey in X-Men 3. I was really hoping that the show might convince me why Wanda was special.
She reminded me of some of those X-Men costumes, I will say that.
It just kind of reminded me that the Scarlet Witch is a much better idea than she's ever been in execution, unfortunately. There was some cool Vision stuff, so I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5. 2.5 Bregos, the front half. And I know people are screaming into their iPhones, I would like to remind you, 2.5 means it was fine. It was average. It was as good as anything else in the genre. And I think WandaVision is just as good as Flash. I think it's just as good as Jessica Jones. I think it's just as good as anything else superhero media that's coming out right now. I just don't think it's special. I think it could have been special, but I don't think it stuck the landing, unfortunately. But it did give me everything I want, so I'm going to give it 2.5. How about you?
I think you're exactly right. Like, WandaVision has some moments in it that are mostly Paul Bettany moments that are fantastic. I do agree with you. I still think the first 3 episodes are just spectacular.
Yeah.
And really good television.
The parable of Theseus's boat was cool.
Yes. And I like the scene where Vision and Wanda talk about grief. But Yeah, after episode 4, it just kind of becomes the ABC, here is the formula, mm-hmm. Marvel. And it does make me worry, because when I first heard that Marvel announced the Disney Plus shows, I worried that these were just going to be 10-minute credit scenes that should just be in a Spider-Man movie extended to 8 episodes. And to be honest with you, that's exactly what WandaVision is.
Yeah.
The only scene you need to know is her at the end with the Darkhold going crazy. And we can, to be honest with you, we can learn that she had fake sons in an offhanded line of Doctor Strange, because guarantee you they're going to put it in the script, because they're going to come
back as teens. What happens in the comics.
They're going to explain it to the audience in Doctor Strange 2. I don't know why I did that. They're going to explain it to the audience in Doctor Strange 2, because they're not going to assume that people watch Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So we're literally going to have a character explain the kids to Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange is not in the show. It's good. It's not great. And it's nowhere. I can tell you this. It's going to be nowhere even at the end of 2021. We're not going to remember this show.
It's not going to win any awards. It's gonna, you know what did get nominated for awards though? Mrs. Fletcher.
That's right. But people will give it a pass because it has Marvel over it.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to give it a 3.
Sure.
Cause I think it's pretty solid. I will say this. I like it better than Mandalorian.
I liked it better than Mandalorian. Yeah, definitely. For
Which
sure.
I think people give a huge pass just cause it says Star Wars. And that show puts me to sleep. So we can bring that up, patrons, if you want. It's okay.
It is. It's okay. It's like, it's totally fine.
I'm going to say this.
It could have been more. Like, we got such a taste of more from this show.
I will say this. I usually judge television shows off of the basis of, would I ever rewatch it again? And I can tell you this, I'm never going to watch WandaVision ever again.
No, I will not. No.
There's no point.
No. No. Because why?
I will watch. Indeed.
You know, the only thing I've rewatched from WandaVision is that clip of Catherine Hahn singing. I've watched that like 3 or 4 times.
Agatha all along.
Yeah. It's funny.
And on that note, yeah, it's the extra is right. Guys, everybody out there, underneath these episodes on Patreon, if you don't know that, if you just listen to these RSS, you can listen to this in the RSS feed, and that's a really easy way to do that. But if you go to Patreon and you look under the episode, there's a comment section. And we want to read some of your comments in these extras called the Extra Thought of the Day. Today, as a patron says, I don't get it, Yusin, who back on the, we were talking about iconic comics of the Bronze Age. And he said, he has a really good timeless quote that I think really works. He says, it just goes to show you how influential outside mediums can be. Who would have thought a Hulk comic would be worth thousands of dollars simply because of the guest character, because it was about the first appearance of Wolverine. And I thought that's a great insight. I think I don't get it. That's a great, real, that's exactly what we're looking for in the extra thought of the day.
There you go.
So I'm gonna give you one of these.
Oh no.
Oh, sorry. Not intentional. Nope. See, this is why I need to, this is why. Here we go. Yeah. Soundboards, that's why you learned about them. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for listening to our review of WandaVision. Leave us an extra thought of the day down in the comments. If it is going to be about WandaVision, you want us to talk about it in a future episode, try to make it timeless.
Tie it in a theme or the MCU at large.
Yeah, or something that we could, you know, bring up, just like I don't get it. So thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your support. Have you listened to Jason and Jeremy John about Justice League yet? It's a pretty cool podcast. Go check it out. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And see you soon, super friends.
Bye.